Emptiness is a term frequently used in the Mahayana tradition versus the term anatta or non-self, which is the equivalent term that is frequently used in the Theravada tradition. So this is to be clear, but for those who have the understanding, if you can penetrate anatta or the Theravada tradition, you can also penetrate sunyata of the Mahayana tradition. They are the same, no different, except the depth of understanding when it was taught at the Theravada tradition level. Because anatta is the third characteristic of the three universal characteristics that the Buddha taught. He said our conditioned world, the universe that we live in, especially the human realm, we call it the conditioned world where everything arises and passes away, follow this nature's law of dependent origination or condition arising causal phenomena. So what happened is when the Theravada tradition teaching was taught to the world, what the Buddha wished to emphasize on is the three universal characteristics that exist within the conditioned world or the phenomenal world. So as we all have developed the understanding, the reason why our existence is called the phenomenal world is because through consciousness, we created the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Because of our physical body, we have the senses. Upon contact with the consciousness trapped inside, it can give rise to the respective sense of consciousness, like what we have gone through. We have the ability to see through our seeing consciousness. We can be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So our sixth sense though, trigger off this respective six type of sense of consciousness. Then within this consciousness, we have the content of consciousness, which are mainly our aggregates of mind. The first aggregate is, of course, the form aggregate, the external form that we bring in through our perception. Then we have the aggregate of feeling. Then we have the aggregate of thinking, thought process. Then the mind state, the emotion, the various type of mental formation, mental intention, and a lot of things that the mundane mind or thinking mind can do is ability to plan, to scheme, to develop all the cunningness, the emotional negativity, the beautiful mind states. These are all part of sankhara, whatever the mind can do. In fact, it includes feeling and perception. We can perceive external phenomena and bring it into the mind. And most of these external phenomena are the external form. That's why perception brings in the rupa, or what we call the mental form. So with the other aggregates of mind, which is feeling, perception, and the sankhara activity and consciousness, we can become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So that consciousness is the content plus the receptacle. So receptacle is the pure consciousness, vijnana, aggregate of mind. There may be input the content through our views, opinion, conditioning, and what we call memory. It will develop into a thought process, and this is what we call our five aggregates of form and mind, the mental aspect. Yeah. So the Buddha, through his enlightenment, realized that everything within the conditioned world, including the five aggregates, they have three universal characteristics. First is the universal characteristics of impermanent. They arise and they pass away. They come and they go. That everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why these universal characteristics of impermanent can only be observed when you are mindful, aware. Without the awareness nature within, you cannot see them. You will be lost in thought, heedless. But the moment you are silent without thought, the awareness nature will be there. And once you are aware that silent observation of what is the reality that you observe without word, without concept, without duality and idea, is seeing things as they are, the direct seeing or the sajna seeing. So through that, you will come to understand clearly the impermanent characteristics of everything your mundane mind observe. Maybe feeling is the same. Upon contact, it arises and it passes away. And everything arises and passes away, come and go within the moment. But that is the only reality within our conditioned world. Perception also, the moment you perceive it arise, then it passes away. Then the next one, the next one. Then your mental activity also same. Your thinking, your planning, your scheming, your emotion, your whatever mind states. And every moment of consciousness also same, arise and pass away, arise and pass away. Then all the activity and movement after it arise, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, initially it's just that consciousness, that seeing consciousness, no one to see. But then your egoic mind arise through your views, opinion, conditioning, it input the content. That's why it becomes egoic. That is like somebody see, yeah. And through that, it create the false entity of a permanent, unchanging entity, which you believe is you. You say, I see, therefore I am. So the seeing takes on a personality which the Buddha called is delusion, sakkayadity, self-delusion. So once you cling onto that, then you develop self-delusion. And because of that, it creates the entity of a personality trying to own things and have things. That's how the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion follow. You believe all these are real. You can own it. You can have it. And you can cling on to it and hold on to it as if they belong to you. Not knowing that all these are due to your sakkayadity, because you are not mindful, aware to see all this. You associate with the seeing through your egoic mind, the sakkayadity. Then everything becomes personal, like you exist. Then everything like become real, you try to own, you try to have, and you try to control, possess and all this. This is how the teaching evolves out of that sakkayadity. So impermanence is the first characteristic that allow you to break free from this delusion of sakkayadity. If it's impermanent, How can it be a permanent, unchanging entity? How can it be you? Where everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena arise and pass away. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Hence, from anicchang, the universal characteristics is of impermanent. You come to realize that basically there is no permanent unchanging entity for you to cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So that is the first understanding that is very profound and very powerful. But as the teaching goes by, it becomes distorted and taught differently. Because people don't have the ability to develop this silent inner awareness to observe and understand through wisdom what this thing is. If it's not a permanent unchanging entity, means they use the word non-self. Non-self means not you. But then they are not told, if it's non-self, not you, then what is this fine aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being? If it's impermanent and not you, then how come it arises? And it's connected to your karmic nature. The vehicle and the tool that come, if it's non-self, dependent, originating, not a permanent yet, then how come it is there? How come there is a law of karma that links this to the nature's law within our conditioned world, which the Buddha realized we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So this aspect was not linked, not interconnected to explain all this. That's why they only hold on to the concept of anatta means non-self. That is not the precise understanding. Anatta doesn't mean non-self. That's why in the teaching, where we have the chanting at the retreat, we chant rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. So when it comes to rupang, it's external form and the physical body, isn't it? So when you say rupang anicchang, we can understand. The external form and the physical body is anicchang. But when it comes to rupang anatta, then you will be confused. Because according to the Buddha, the external form like our table, our house, they are also anatta. You cannot say the table is non-self, understand? Or the house is non-self. Well, this has never been a living being, understand? But yet he say rupang anicchang and rupang anatta. Means what? It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's way beyond non-self. Non-self is a term used for the physical body where we exist as a living being or a human being. Where it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling onto, grab onto and say, this is me, this is I. That's why anatta meaning is it is not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, everything that arises and happens is not real, not what you think. So the other deeper meaning is, apart from non-self, is the empty nature of existence. Understand? Empty nature. That's why it's linked to sunyata, emptiness. But this was not taught because over the years, the teaching that has evolved, people can't really develop the understanding to understand all this. So what has been passed on is, when you ask, what is the anatta universal character? Non-self. That is a standard answer. Non-self is actually the same. That's why the Buddha said, anicchang dukkang anatta. He never say anicchang dukkang sunyata. Understand? So now the key thing is to clear up all this understanding. So once and for all, Dharma practitioner can understand this universal characteristic clearly. So like the Buddha explained, anicchang means with the silent mind in awareness, you can see that everything is dependent, originating, continuing. Because with awareness, you can see them coming and going, arising and passing away. Not a permanent unchanging entity, no reality. And because of that, it's not only non-self, it's empty. Because everything is causal phenomenal, dependent, originating. When condition is like that, things are here. How can you say this is me, this is I? That is delusion. And because it functions this way, it follows nature's law. So when it follows nature's law, the Buddha came out with the second universal characteristic. That's why he said we learn to see things as they are. If you don't have the mindfulness and the awareness to see things as they are and allow your thought to distort what you see and what you perceive, then you will come out with a lot of thought that process that create the concept, the idea, the what they call duality, for you to grasp that, cling at, and create a lot of division, misunderstanding, argument. That's how the chaotic phenomenal world come to be. So through lack of understanding, we argue over something created by thought, which is not a reality. This is an illusion. That's why the Buddha called it the illusionary world. The Mahayana understood. That's why they use that a lot. Our existential world is a phenomenal world of consciousness. And what is consciousness? It's an illusion. It's like the Buddha's analogy. Consciousness is like a magician or an illusionist that create illusion for you to see. Yeah. The moment the mind arises, mind is a foreigner, all things, mind is chief. And mind arises, all things arise. And how does the mind arise? Through contact. Upon contact between the external form and the consciousness, it triggers the respective consciousness and its content, and that's how the thought come to be, the five aggregate of form and mind. Then this one is like a magician. Through consciousness, it created the existential world. Then you give meaning, you grasp, you cling, you hold. And this is where everything happens. It has the power to delude, deceive, entice, and create delusion to cause attachment, grasping, clinging. So all this, when you are mindful, aware, you can see, you can awaken. Then you realize it is all following the nature's law of karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama, the three right view. Then you have to come to terms with the reality and accept them for what they are. Like the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are, not according to how you perceive it through your mundane thinking, memory, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, your accumulated memories with its views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, phobia, etc. So all these are the understanding which I have explained very clearly in the new book that is going to come out. And once you read the book, you will understand all this. Then you can penetrate these three characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, very easily. And once you penetrate, you will awaken. So if it's anicchang, if I want things my way, which is not in accordance with nature's way, which is following the nature's law, pancha niyama, then what happened? Suffering will arise, isn't it? Because you can't get what you want, you suffer. That is the first noble truth reality. One of the eight realities. When you cannot get what you want, suffering comes to be. When things don't go your way, suffering comes to be. So having this understanding and wisdom, To come to terms with whatever that arises within the moment is wisdom. See, we are seeing things as they are. We are the direct seeing. That's why the Surangama Sutta, the verse, perception of form is consciousness, like a magician. It's very beautiful. Whereas it's non-perception through the direct seeing, the pure awareness nature, is wisdom. That is the direct seeing. Seeing things as they are, the real wisdom that will arise. Whereas the conscious seeing through the mundane mind is mundane seeing. Before you become enlightened, that one distort what you see and create all the delusion. The sakayality that transform into the evil roots that actually create the chaotic phenomenal world. Suffering, conflict, argument within the conditioned world. So all this, the understanding will manifest. Okay? So this is the first part of the explanation of why the word sunyata only appear frequently in the Mahayana Sutta, whereas in the Theravada tradition sutta, that word is there, sunyata is there. But most of the time, the more popularly used term is anatta. But if you penetrate the Theravada tradition's teaching to realize what anatta is, then you will have the same understanding as the Mahayana who have realized sunyata. Yeah. So that part is very beautiful. But you must go through the Theravada tradition's cultivation to understand anicchang and dukkang before you complete the whole understanding with the third characteristics, universal characteristic or anatta. So anicchang, dukkang, anatta is taught at the Theravada tradition level with the preliminary teaching. Yeah. Then when you understand all this, you will penetrate the higher teaching of sunyata, which is emptiness. Everything is not what you think. That's why when I share and I teach, the understanding come from the Maya tradition. I always say, he know me, he know you. That entity which living being cling onto, hold onto is an illusion. It's a delusion. Sakayadity and an illusion, not real. So if everything is just the way it is, he know you, he know me, then how real can life be? That's why everything is empty. Empty nature existence, no reality. We cannot deny that we were born. We went through life. We experience all this. We go through our consciousness to perceive and experience all this. All our accumulated experiences. End of the day, I ask you one question. Is it real? You can only recall through memory. 往事只能回味. If you cannot recall through memory, they are as good as they don't exist. Isn't it? It's just nature's law. Like one of my other teacher, Achayantra, used to say, it's only mighty nature rolling by. Existence is just like that. Mighty nature with its set of nature's law, the Panchaniyama, rolling by. No reality. He know you, he know me. Everything is just the way it is. The isness of thing. Ta-ta-ta. Yeah. So all this understanding will fall into place. Okay.